Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Merino.
Heard and known, and our fathers have told us, we will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. I'm going to read the last verse once again. We will not hide them from their children, or we will not hide these truth from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. Psalm 78, it's a very powerful passage and a reminder of God's faithfulness. And we can learn a lot from God's faithfulness because it's referring to a rebellious people. But in this psalm, you will find out that God, even though they were unfaithful, God was always faithful. And the writer of this psalm, or the author, is Asaph, one of the great and singers and musicians of David. And in the times also of Solomon's era, we will find that Asaph, in a way, was a prophet through the musical compositions, his music, his songs, his words that the Lord would speak through him. Psalm 78 is the longest of the historical psalms when you read the Bible. And as one commentary, James Montgomery Boyce, said, it's a lesson is that history must not repeat itself. That's the lesson. The people must never again be unbelieving, because that's what we're going to see right now. It's amazing how God does so much for us, or he did for Israel, and it was so easy to come to a place of unbelieving. I mean, everything that God did, oh, how the hand of God was upon them, how God moved, how God gave them breakthroughs. And it seems like the people, Israel, forgot God's faithfulness. And that's why when you read in the beginning of this psalm, you see right away that the writer, Asaph, he says, oh, my people, give ear, he says. And I want you to just follow me through what I'm going to read. He says, give ear, oh, my people, to my law, or you could also say to my instructions. How many know that that's the reason why God gave us two ears? Amen. In the book of Revelations, the Bible says, he who has an ear, hear what the Lord is saying. And it's important, church, to listen to the instructions or the law or the word of God. And he tells them, incline your ears, he says, to the words of my mouth, what I'm about to say. And the Bible says in verse 2, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Or in other words, what he's saying is, I will teach you hidden secrets or lessons from our past. How many know that we can learn from the past? Amen. And he says, which have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. And I think it's very important, church, that we as parents or as teachers or anyone that teaches the word, how important it is to pass on, is to share what God has done in our lives. How many here this morning, God has done great things in your life? Amen. God has, I mean, it was not even man. This was a God thing. God has done so much in your life and in my life that we can't stay quiet. Amen. We have to open our mouth and instruct and remind our children that the God that we serve is a living God. He's not a dead God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he says, we will not hide them from their children. Verse 4. And he says, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. And his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. See, that's the God that we serve, church. Don't forget that the God that we serve, he does wonderful works. Amen? God does wonderful things. How many things has God done in your life? Wonderful. I mean, it's only God, nobody else. I mean, only God was able to do that. Only God was, he was the only one that showed up when nobody else showed up. Amen? God came in that emergency room. It was God. It was nobody else. It was God who came in that courtroom. God is the one that gave you favor and grace. Amen. And that's what we're here this morning, church. It's just a reminder not to forget of the wonderful things that God has done, he is doing, and he will continue to do in your life and in my life. And if you believe it, give the Lord a clap offering this morning. Amen. Very important that they see and experience the God whom we serve. The Bible says in verse 7 that they may set their hope in God. Church, there is no other way. Many times, you know, you hear people say that, you know, America is lost. But I don't believe that, because we serve a living God. And I'm thankful for people who are standing up for Jesus, who are not ashamed of the gospel. I don't know if you saw, you know, the Celtics won the championship. And what a coach do they have? A man who fears God. A man who's not ashamed of the gospel. I mean, he knows that millions and millions of people are watching. And they're asking him all these questions. And every question they would try to, let's just say, to trick him and try to get to say something, he would always refer himself to the Bible. Giving God glory. Amen? Because, see, church, darkness has to see that light is winning. Amen? I don't know if you saw also the soccer game, where they prayed. Not only did they pray, they even gave like a mini message, a sermon, where God was glorified, God was honored. Amen? Because, church, there's no other way. God is the only way. Amen? And people need to hear, they need to see that the God that we serve, he's not dead. Our God is alive. And God is moving in the midst of us. God is moving in these times right now. And he says that they may set their hope in God. And then look what he says. And not forget the works of God. Church, may we not, never, may God help us, we don't forget the works of God. What God has done in your life, God has done in my life. And when he says, don't forget about the works of God, at the same time he says, but keep his commandments. He says, or obey his commandments. See, we don't want to forget what God is doing, and at the same time we want to be obedient. And why is that important, church? Because he says, set their hope in God. Because in verse 8, it says this, and may not be like their fathers. What did their fathers do? Well, the Bible says that they were a stubborn and rebellious generation. When you read in the Old Testament how stubborn and rebellious that generation was, they were very stubborn and rebellious. Because God did everything that they asked for. God even did more than what they asked for. But even at that, what God did not like is when they doubted him. I mean, they saw the hand of God in their lives. They saw the cloud over them, guiding them, giving them shade and guiding them. I mean, God gave them manna. God would split a rock and give them water when they were not asking for it. But what God did not like is that even though they saw the marvelous things in their life, what God had done and God was still doing, they would rebel and they would doubt God. But church, and it says a generation that did not set its heart right. See, their heart wasn't right, the Bible says. And whose spirit was not faithful to God. Notice what he's saying. Look at verse 9. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Church, may we not be those type that return, that go back. Even though we're armed, we're carrying arrows, we're carrying everything, but that we do not turn our back in the day of battle. Let me say something, church. God will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? How many believe that? And he says, and forget and forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Verse 10 says that they refuse to walk in his law. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers. Verse 12. And the land of Egypt and the field of Zoan. Look, everything he had done. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. And he made waters to stand up like a heap. In the daytime also, he led them with the cloud. There it is. And at night with the light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness. And look what he says. And gave them drink in what? In abundance. See, God is a God of abundance. And he says, like the depths, he also brought streams out of the rock. And cause waters to run down like rivers. So you see the picture. God is just doing awesome things in their lives, church. Marvelous works. God delivered them out of Egypt. They are free. But look what the Bible says. Verse 17, what does it say? But they sin a little bit more. And it says they sin even more against him. You know, that's how humans are sometimes. The more God is doing many times, he's blessing you. God is doing greater things. The Bible says, but they sin even more against him. By rebelling against the Most High, what does it say? In the wilderness. And look what he says. And they tested God in their heart. See, God doesn't like that when you test God. Like saying, well, I'm a test God to see, you know, see what's your reaction. You think God doesn't know already your heart? He already knows. What God wants is that you believe him, that if he did it once, God can do it again. Amen. That's why the Bible talks about faith. Faith to believe God. See, the Bible says now faith is. Faith is now, church. Don't ever forget what God is doing in your life and what he's going to continue to do. Don't doubt him. You already saw how God healed you, God set you free, how God came through, how God did the miraculous, how God made things happen, how things just appeared. You don't even know how it happened, who did it. All you know, it was by the grace and mercy of God. Yeah. And they sinned even more against him by rebellion, oh my gosh, against the Most High. Why would you ever want to rebel against the Most High God? And they tested God in their hearts by asking for the food. Look what it says. See, God gave a manna. They were hungry. He says, hey, there's no problem. I'll give you manna. By asking for the food of their fancy. Look at verse 18. The New Living Translation says, they stubbornly tested God in their hearts, demanding the foods they craved. See, they didn't want chicken from Cardenas. They wanted KFC. Amen. And I mean, God can do it. We know that. God can make it appear. But I mean, at least at the moment, be grateful for what you have. Amen. I think that's a powerful lesson, church. It's to be grateful for what you have. Be grateful for what you have. Thank God for, you might not have what you want yet, but thank God for what you have. Amen. And the moment we learn to be grateful and thankful to the Lord, God can make it happen in your life, church. And it says, yes, they spoke against God. See, they spoke against God. They said, can God, look at their language. Look what's coming out of their mouth. They were saying, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? I mean, they saw that God could, you know, out of a rock, water would come out in the world. And they're still asked, can God prepare a table? Church, see everything. There, you know, what's that saying? Count your blessings. Count your blessings, church. Yet count where you are, what you have, what God has done. And many times, you know what? That's the mercy of God. We don't even deserve it, but it's only by the mercy of God of what we got. Because God is good. Amen. God is so good. Even though we don't deserve it, God has been good. And it says, behold, he struck the rock so that the waters gush out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he give bread also? He just gave the manna. Can he provide meat for his people? And see, that's what God doesn't like. You know how, you know, we see, you know, the little things God does in your life, in my life. How he provides, how he comes through. And it's so easy, church, to forget everything that the Lord has done and he's doing. And Asaph, he says in his Psalms, that the Lord was furious. God didn't like it. He didn't like that they were doubting him. That there were, I mean, they saw everything. He did everything for them. And they're asking, you know, can God still do? I mean, you're seeing what God has done. And you're asking if he can do it. Church, he did it once. He can do it again. And the second time he'll do it even better. That's why Ephesians 3:20 says, and him who is able to do more than we can ask or think of according to the power that worketh in us. See, God will always do more than we can think or ask according to the power that worketh in us. Ephesians 3:20. Don't forget, church. I saw a fight last night, a boxing, and they asked the guy that lost, and he said right away, he didn't want to say much, he just said, you know, I lost, I know what I did wrong, but the next one is going to be better. Amen? And church, see, with God, it's always better. It's always better. Don't doubt him. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. And it says that he got furious. Anger also came upon against Israel. And it's also simple, church. Verse 22. That's why I said faith is now. It's important to believe God, trust God. It says in verse 22, because they did not believe God. That's it. They didn't believe him. I mean, how are you not going to believe God when, number one, he took you out of slavery, Egypt? He opened the Red Sea for you. He gave you manna. He gave you water. He dressed you where? In the wilderness. And then to say, I don't believe you. Something's not right, church. And we read something's not right in their heart. Being rebellious and speaking against God. You know, and how many times, you know, it's so easy, church, to forget how gracious God has been in your life and my life. And either, you know, we forget or we know, but we don't want to accept it. But God, I'm here to remind you, God is good, church. He's a good God. He's a good God, and he's even better and greater when you walk with him in obedience. Because we're going to see, church, that even though they stopped believing, God was merciful to them. God was merciful to them. And now, you know, one thinks, well, you know, they were rebellious, God was merciful. But yeah, but think about it. Imagine now when you're obedient. And you have the right heart. A right heart before God. That you believe God. You trust God. That you walk with God. And you receive everything that God, you know, you do what God tells you what to do. And you do it in obedience. God will do marvelous, even greater in your life. But I believe that many times we get comfortable. We just want a little bit of blessing just to make it through, just to make it for the day, just to make it for the week, just to make it for the month. When the Bible says that Christ gave to give you life and life more abundant. God wants to give you the full blessing, the full package. But I really believe that people are satisfied. They're satisfied just with a little bit. As long as, you know, as long as I have this, as long as, you know, I still want to be this. I still want to act this. I still want this. But as long as I get a little bit of the blessing, as long as I just make it, people get satisfied just with that. But see, God, but what we forget, church, is that God wants all of your obedience. He wants total, I didn't say church, I did not say perfection, I said obedience. God wants your heart, God wants your spirit, soul, and body. God wants all of you. He wants everything of you. Why? Because he paid a heavy price for you. And look what the Bible says. Just give me 5 more minutes. Look what he says. Because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Yet, he commanded the clouds above. Look what he says. And yet, he commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of what? Of heaven. Had rain down manna on them to eat and given them of the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. Look what he says. He sent them food to the full. See, God gave them enough for them to be full. Notice that study the Bible, church. Every time God always talks about fullness, abundant. Because that's the way God works, church. Now, when you look at the enemy does the opposite. He steals, he destroys, he kills. That's the enemy. That is, and it says, the thief, he steals, kills, and destroys. Think about it. The enemy always takes away. God always gives in abundance. And the Bible says, he rained down manna on them to eat and given them the bread of heaven. Men ate angels' food. He sent them food to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heavens, and by his power, look what he says, he brought in the south wind. He also rained meat on them like dust. Feather fell like the sand of the seas. And he let them fall in the midst of their camp, all around their dwellings. Look at verse 29 again, church. Look at verse 29. So they ate and were what? Well filled. For he gave them their own desire. They were not deprived of their craving. But while their food was still in their mouth. And then you just read on, church, that how they still sin against him. They rebelled against him. And they didn't believe. I mean, they saw what God was in, and they still did not believe God. And as usual, church, what happened? They got tired. They cried out to God. They cried out and they confessed and said, you know, we sin against you, God. And what does God do? God restores them again. But my question is, church, why wait? Why wait for something to happen when you can walk in the flow and the blessing of God continually? Notice that the Bible says, when he slew them, the Bible says, they sought him and they returned and sought earnestly for God. But why, church? Why sin? Why rebel? I mean, think about it this way. You see the blessing of God. I mean, continue, be grateful for what God is doing. But what they were doing was that they even though they saw the hand of God, they came to a place of unbelief. And God didn't like that. And like I've always said, church, yes, we live under grace, but because God loves us so much, God knows how to get your attention, yours and mine. And he knows how to do it to the inch. And what did they do? They said, okay, Lord, we can't handle this no more. This is too much. And the Bible says they earnestly sought God. And the Bible says, and then they remember, look at verse 35, they remember that God was the rock. And it says, and the Most High God, the Redeemer. And I mean, you could just continue to read everything. I mean, it's just a powerful psalm that we can learn. And then look what he says. I want to read one verse, church, and I'm done. It says they provoked him in the wilderness. Don't provoke God, church. And grieved him in the desert. But look at verse 41. Yes, again and again they tempted God. Did you get that? Again and again they tempted God. But look at verse 42. They did not remember his power. The day when he redeemed them from the enemy. Right there, it says that they forgot, they didn't remember his power. When God, what? When God redeemed them from their enemy. It's talking about when they were in Egypt, church. See, that's the greatest testimony, church, hear me. Where God took you out from. Where God delivered you from. When God broke those chains in your life. When God's power anointing broke the yoke upon your life. When Christ set you free. When we were dead in our sins, or we were deep in sin. Christ came into our lives and he set us free. He redeemed us from the curse. Amen. And now we are blessed, church. Amen. We are not chained up or no more. Now we are free indeed, because where the Spirit of the Lord lives, there is liberty. Now we are set free. I know, church, that sounds like, oh, I know God, you know, delivered me so and so. But you don't forget, church, nobody was able to set you free. Delivered you from your own Egypt, where God took you out of. Amen. When we were lost, we were blind. We were without hope. We thought, there was maybe times you wanted to take your life away. You didn't know what to do. But thank God that the power of God came through. Amen. And he set us free by his grace, by his power. Hallelujah. Yeah, a lot of people, church, we forget. We were dead. Some of you were in bad relationships. Some of you were in addictions. Some of you didn't know what to do. Amen. But thank God that Jesus came into our lives. Amen. And now we are blessed. We are full of the Holy Ghost. We are highly favored of God. We're walking in the will of God. Amen. We're the head and not the tail. Now we have a life and life in abundance. Now we smile. Now we have joy. Now we praise God. We glorify God. We're not sad no more. We don't walk with our head down. Now we walk with our head up. Now we give him glory, praise, and glory, honor, because God is so good, church. Hallelujah. Look what the Bible says. They did not remember his power. Remember, church, his power. The power of God. He redeemed you from the enemy. The enemy was about to finish with some of you. And then it's only by the mercy and the grace of God that we're here, church. Someone would have been in jail, the hospital, or 6 feet under. But it's only by the mercy and grace of God. The love of God, church. The love of God that God uses through people to love one another. It's by his mercy that we're here, church. Every day it's a new day. And every day it's not a bad day, church. It's not a sad day. It is a blessed day because we serve Jesus Christ. Amen. This today, it's a beautiful day because this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice, the Bible says. Stop saying, what a bad day, what a terrible day. It's a terrible day because you permit it. You permit people to try to kill your vibe. No, that's why you need a strong relationship with God. So that nobody, nothing, no demons, devil, nobody can knock you down. And if you do, you get up in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And it's all with your relationship and your belief in God, church. Please stand this morning.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.